This is Victoria Davis, a.k.a. The Victator.
And this is Laura Jean Moore, a.k.a. New Brit.
And you are listening to Livin' and Lovin' in NYC.
Woo!
Okay, so sorry, listeners, if anyone was tuning in and you were hearing nothing or the archives of K-Piss, which is pretty cool. We had some technical difficulties, but now apparently we're talking. I'm talking. I'm on the air right now. So, producer's making a weird face. I'm going to ignore that for a second. So we have a lot of cool shit going on today, but beforehand, I'm going to do what I did last time, which I'm now going to do all the time. Well, not yet. I have to give the Ghana report.
Oh, the Ghana report.
The Ghana report
is
very important.
Not to be confused with the Ghana report.
Right, which is another show that we're never going to do. So, as our listeners may know, we have been steadily doubling our listeners in Ghana, and this past month we had 25 listeners in Ghana. Yes, we had 25 listeners in Ghana.
Wait, is that like did we start out with 2 and then it was 4?
Then it was 4, and then it was like 8, and then it was like something
and
over
then now
like
it's like 25.
Yeah, I know.
More than
we are so huge in Ghana right
amazing.
Now. It's a big deal.
Hey, Ghana.
But Ghana, I still very much want to hear from you. And last time, you might recall, we asked you to maybe say something on iTunes or rate us on iTunes. And by the way, people still just do that, okay? But I realized that most of the listeners in Ghana are not downloading. They're doing plays on our host site.
Ah.
So I realized it's not going to work. So Ghana, I wanna hear from you. I set up a new email address. It's called sluttyforalesbian@gmail.com. And I want you to write to me. I want you to tell me about you. I want you to tell me about Ghana. Okay? All right. So there's that. So we have an...
Sorry.
sluttyforalesbian@gmail.com. Shockingly, that wasn't taken.
No one... Shockingly.
Yeah.
Actually, I am shocked.
I know. You feel like someone at some point
in
time...
We've talked about this before, but I think the lesbians of the United States could get a little sluttier.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We know this.
You've had difficulty being slutty in the summer because, you know, people get serious really quick. You were... You told me before.
I had a great slutty summer.
I thought you had a great slutty summer, but you had a plan and an algorithm for how to do that.
Oh, yeah, which we discussed in a previous episode, which is mostly just going for girls with boyfriends, which really is good. As long as everyone's
open. They're
down
to their DTF. Yeah, they're down
yeah that's the thing. There aren't any lesbians because the lesbians are right. So we're going to have to do some shout-outs now.
Totally.
I'm going to save the best for last.
Well, damn. Sorry, everybody else who comes first.
Yeah. So Mei Ling, an old friend from high school, who I really should have shouted out last time because she shared us and basically screamed to everyone they better listen. Jesse, my bro from Amherst College, represent. He basically said the show is exactly like the conversations we used to have at the dining hall when people would get up and leave our table.
Oh my God, Jesse. Yeah. The Victator showed me that email and I was like, overjoyed.
Yeah.
My little heart just blew up and my face turned red, blushy.
But nothing happened to your clitoris?
I mean, we're not quite at that part of the show yet.
Okay.
Are we? Okay.
Well, where our listeners turn us on, they should.
It's true.
Julia Badtouch, who just is always awesome. And oh, she's the one who,
Julia Badtouch?
Yeah, well, obviously her real last name isn't Badtouch, so I wouldn't say her last name. But that's how she goes. So she's the one, if anyone saw this, she was listening to our last episode on Cunnilingus, and she was listening at work, and her headphones came out at the precise moment that I just said really, really loudly, eating pussy. So I feel like that's a big win
so
for
everyone
us.
Everyone in her office knows that she may or may not be into eating pussy now.
Yeah. So also Christopher, who I went to Amherst with, is this little sweet gay bee. okay. I have one more, but before I give do one more, I think are you gonna do
yes.
Okay, because this one's amazing.
I have a shout out to my former housemate, Miss Renee, who apparently listens to our podcast sometimes on her commute. And the feedback we got was that it was quote unquote arousing, which I think that's as good as 5 stars.
Yeah, if we could turn someone on, like this is a big deal.
That's good. Also, can we do a shout out to Cecilia?
That was the one I was saving for last.
Oh my God.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm gonna do a shout out to Cecilia. Okay. And so Cecilia is this really sweet 21-year-old girl who is too young for me, who I made out with at Cubby
Hole. In my lap.
apparently I made out with her in New Brit's lap. But here's why it's amazing, because after that she became like an incredible listener of ours. So I just think that we need to start this as a marketing campaign where I just run around making out with
guerrilla
children.
Marketing 101, and make out with people, listen to our podcast.
Yeah, yeah, because now she's like a huge fan, so that's great. And she's awesome. We love you, Cecilia. Okay, so do you want to start with introductions, New Brit, since I just like spoke for like way too long?
I mean, you had things to say.
Okay, fine.
It's fine. Well, I'll do some intros. Saying, you don't knock yourself.
Yeah.
So today, obviously, if maybe you don't know, if you read our podcast descriptions, you may know that we're about to talk about some deep shit about where the butch is going in the lesbian world and whether or not they're really going anywhere, or if this is a made up controversy. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out. But to that end, today we have some fucking great guests joining us. One of whom? Who am I going to introduce?
Well, you're right next to one
true.
Of them, so why don't
I'm
you?
I'm going to introduce Jax.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say about Jax is that I don't know Jax, but I met Jax because at Cubby Hole one night, the Victator and I were getting drunk at happy hour because Cubby Hole. Oh, shout out to Cubby Hole because they're fucking great.
Cubby Hole's awesome.
We were getting drunk at their happy hour, and I looked over at Vicky and I was like,
"You mean a Victator?
Excuse me, the Victator." And I was like, "Oh my God, this hottie just sat down right behind me." And then Vicky took one look and was like, yeah, we went to first grade together.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And then things got like minorly awkward, but not too bad.
No, not really. She showed you pictures of me as a child.
I know. And what Jax doesn't know is that for a while, like every time Jax did something hot on Facebook, Vicky would screenshot it and send it to me.
That's true. Yeah.
Every time Jax did something hot on Facebook, the Victator would screenshot it and send it to me.
I'm sorry, but you didn't see New Brit's face.
That was before we were Facebook friends. Now I can stalk you.
Yeah. She doesn't need me to, like, right?
Anyway, that's, like, your real name, but, like, do you have a pseudonym you want to use on the air today? Have you come?
I'm fine with Jax. Jax is fine. Yeah, Jax is fine. Totally. Do you want to say yeah. My name is Jax. I'm not really sure what constitutes me. I guess I feel privileged to be here. I mean, I do identify as butch, and I guess that's the only thing I need to be here, really, except for knowing the right people.
Ah, yeah.
The Victator.
Yeah.
Right? From grade school.
That's right.
And New Brit from the bar.
Yeah.
So I was not aware of...
Yeah, of the stalking that we've been doing of you.
No, I wasn't aware of that. Yeah.
So I'm gonna say one more thing about Jax before we move on to our next guest. It's just that like Jax saved me from bullies when I was 6 years old. Like she like in the bathroom, I had this fucking girl who was obsessed with torturing me named Aisha, and Jax who was like
Aisha.
I think you know who I'm talking about. Oh my God,
Aisha.
Yeah, that bitch was crazy. That fucking bitch was crazy. Anyway, this is hilarious. A 6 year old girl I'm talking about, but she was fucking
hilarious. Right
she
now.
Was fucking yeah. Anyway, but like there was this time where like we were in the bathroom and like I came out of the stall and she didn't know that you were in the other one. She was starting with me and then you just like opened the stall and we're like, don't mess with my friend. And she was like, and the thing is, you were probably like 2 feet shorter than both of us. So like
I still am.
Yeah, I know. Sure. Like, yeah, she was just like fucking tough as nails. Okay. Also, I'm about to introduce our next guest. Before I do that, I also want to say that this is probably like the sexiest 12x12 like space in New York right now, because everyone in this room is dead sexy.
Dead sexy.
Including our guest Isaac, who is amazing. He runs a publication that he's going to talk about, and he's just a dope dude. But you can please say something about yourself, Isaac.
Sure. So I'm Isaac, and thank you for the compliments. Definitely a good-looking guy, and I'm in a room with some good-looking folks.
We can talk about that.
But yeah, so I edit a publication called Flux Weekly, and it's basically dedicated to publishing long-form journalism that focuses on LGBTQ issues and hopefully getting primarily LGBTQ writers, and two of whom are in this room as we speak.
We wrote a few things.
Wrote a few things, and they're great. And I'm just happy to be here. It's a cool topic, and let's get it going.
All right. Okay, so, I mean, do you have the citation in front of you of the inspiration for the show, perhaps?
I know it's called Where Have the Butches Gone, and it was on SheWire by someone cool.
By someone cool. Okay, well, Big Taylor looks that up. I'm going to talk about what it's about.
A little,
so basically, this article that gave us the idea for the show was by this older lesbian lady, and she was talking about all the women she had loved in the course of her life, and she was saying that, like, I thought it was super empathetic. She was talking about how she's heard younger lesbians say, like, where are the butches now? But, like, what she was pointing out was that this, what may look on the outside in, like, the past, in, like, the 70s, let's all imagine, oh, the 70s, what may have looked like a monolithic group was actually always two groups. It was just, like, one part of the group wasn't able to transition at the time, and they would have if they could have. But then, so what ended up happening is a lot of them ended up identifying as butch because it was like the only category that was more available to them, even though in private conversations, a lot of times her lovers would be like, you know, I don't really feel like a woman, but they didn't have like a way to not be. So I thought it was super empathetic way to approach it. It wasn't like bitchy and whining, which I think the title led me to think it was gonna be.
Well, there's a reason I...
Who wrote it? Did you find out who wrote it?
Roe Thorpe, who's like just this like badass motherfucker who was like mayor of Ithaca for a minute.
What?
Yeah. She's like the man, or the woman, rather.
Oh my God.
I just call everyone the man. But okay, here's the reason that I like, okay, because I had this in mind because, not because of this question specifically, but I had been hearing people saying, it's weird because people have been saying it, but I haven't actually known anyone who said it about themselves, that there is a rift between the old guard butch lesbian and like the increase of trans men. And so that's why I started googling that, but I couldn't fucking find anything that was really that made any sense about it.
We have
so
anecdotal experience.
This wasn't this exact issue, but it was the most like well written, well thought out, you know, like somewhat researched, because she did. There was some, you know, a small group of people that she like, you know, had interviewed, like 47, and 10% of them said that they would have transitioned were they, you know, like whatever,
if they could.
And I just thought it was really good. Jax is like waving her hand, like Jax has something to say.
Apparently, she's experienced some shit from some old guard. So let's hear it.
Testify. Yeah. And now I'm like, oh, was my hand really raised? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do know that I hear a lot of women talk about it. I've heard a lot of, I mean, it comes up often, I feel, at least like the last year or so. I feel like I've been privy to a lot of opinions in the community regarding this, and people claiming that, you know, butches are disappearing, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's onset of trans, and, you know, not understanding. There's like almost like a, in a certain, sometimes it can feel like a little bit hostility,
right.
you know? And not always, you know, but you get a sense that people are, you know, at least some people are annoyed by it, and, or don't understand it. That's actually, I think, a better way of putting it. And then, you know, for me, dealing with, you know, there was only two categories before, really. I mean, like, umbrella-wise, I mean, we have all these subcategories, of course, but, you know, when there was these two categories, of course you're going to identify as butch. I mean, I identify as butch, and you know, you can't actually see me, but if some people are looking at me, some would look at me and say, yeah, right, there's no way that you're butch, you know? And then mm-hmm. to others, you know, I can be a stone butch. It's really, you know, anywhere on the spectrum, but I identify as butch mm-hmm. in present day. I think back then there was less options, these subcategories of which to, you know, identify. And as a result, you had a lot of people identifying as butch who, you know, really in today's terms aren't. They're trans. They're men. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they always were. And they would have been. I mean, back then, it's the same thing. It's just the categories, the options, I think, have just...
Yeah, and I think just to piggyback off of that, that to me, what's interesting about this whole thing is the hostility, sort of. Yeah. And I think that a lot of that comes from a real genuine place of having fought for women to not have to fit into a specific role. And so a lot of sort of old school members of the LGBTQ community, I think, really, you know, they fought hard to redefine what it means to be a woman. And then I think there's an urge to sort of extend that to everybody and sort of say, well, why can't you just be a woman and do what you do, but identify as a woman? Like, we fought hard for this. And I think maybe that's where the hostility comes in.
You know, that brings up a good point, though, that is sort of something you talk about in the article you wrote on whether feminism and transgender movement are at odds on Flux Weekly, mm-hmm. fluxweekly.com. and that, to me, is like, are we going to have litmus tests for who's girly enough and who's mask enough?
Right.
And then that begins to sound really quick, like we're just reinforcing all of the same values that people in the queer community have been trying to shirk off for a long time, mm-hmm. or play with, or just not have be so set in stone as it seems like the like cishet world wants them to be. Mm-hmm. And that also brings up like what you were saying before we came on the air about like, or even just now, like how, okay, so you identify as butch, like how butch do you have to be a butch? How femme do you have to be a femme? Like right. I don't know. What do you think? How does that go?
Yeah. And I feel like I mean, without trying to like talk too much about it, obviously I've been thinking about it a lot, but I think it's also important to remember that a lot of trans men don't identify as masculine, really. Like, there are plenty of femme trans men. There are plenty of queer trans men, bisexual. So I think we kind of, like, have this, maybe this cis or heterosexual world is kind of pushing trans people to sort of, oh, so you were, like, a boy the whole time, or you were a girl the whole time. And it's not really that clear, even in the community itself, I think. Right.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. That like there's a million ways to be, you know, just the way there's a million ways to be a cis guy. There's a million ways to be a trans guy, and obviously women as well. But it also this one point that in the article "Where Have the Butches Gone" that I found interesting was that plenty of guys who ended up transitioning who used to identify as butch lesbians when they still identified as women. They weren't even into women. That was just the only thing that like the only they were like I guess I have to be a butch lesbian because is like, you know, and then they transitioned to men and turned out, you know, being, you know, for lack of a better term, gay men. But yeah, it's just that they felt that that was the only, you know, community that would accept them on some level before they could fully transition.
Oh my god, I feel that I have such empathy for that because I mean explicit, but they were having sex with people they weren't really into for a long time.
I mean, maybe they weren't, but yeah.
Like, that is rough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and it's, I have to say it. That sucks, man.
Yeah.
Wow. And also at the same time, you and I have talked about, I really like this idea of having fluid, like the people's sexualities might be more fluid over time than we often acknowledge too.
Yeah.
That it's not this idea that like, oh, you're like gay since you were born, or you were, I mean, some people are.
Yeah.
But not everybody is, and that doesn't make them less gay when they finally show up gay.
Yeah. You
know? Absolutely. I mean, the Victator, knows this, but you know, I was raised by two women. My mom identifies as a lesbian, but when I was growing up, she identified as bisexual. Hmm. She even started a group, a meetup kind of. It was like, I would guess back in the 80s, it was like a present day meetup, but for bisexual women. So she was recently divorced. She had me, and then she was into women, and now she identifies as a lesbian. She's been in the same lesbian relationship for about, I think, over 23 years now. She's still with the same woman, who's my other mother. So I know for a fact, I mean, at a very young age, I was aware of bisexuality and I guess the ambiguity of sexuality in general and the gray zone. There was nothing but a gray zone growing up in my house, actually. I mean, I grew up in Chelsea.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Exposure, you know?
That's interesting though. I didn't realize that your mom had originally, identified as bi or
she did.
I guess that just speaks to bisexual erasure. Like, you know, my mom's spoke about your mom as like the lesbian. In a very loving way. She was just like, she was like, oh yes, lesbian. Your mom's lesbian. Your friend's lesbian mom. You know, it's basically like my mom was like really like one of those people who were so eager about gay rights that they were offensive sometimes. You know what I mean?
Well, back then it was still a thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't like these days. I mean, I got made fun of and I had to, you know, that's where I think I got so aggressive at a young age. Nothing to bring it back to. You know that, but I got made fun of for having gay moms.
Actually, you might be the reason I'm gay. If we're gonna go about,
really, is it?
We're gonna find
that's it.
We're gonna find my root here. Find my root. No. Here's the thing. We were playing Barbies, and
what?
She made.
Oh no.
No, Jax made the two guys.
Oh
make out and have sex. The two guys. I didn't know that was a thing you could do.
And
I
was like, Ken?
I was like,
can make out with Ken?
Yeah, well, Ken was making out with
that
Ken.
That was my favorite
like six,
thing to do.
6 years old, and I was just
I
like,
did the
whoa.
Same thing with my G.I. Joes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, exact you're the same thing.
You're the one who planted the seed.
I didn't know about that when I was young. I mean, I was aware that there are people that, like the choir director in church, that people were like, you know, he's a little light in his loafers. You know, that was like, light in the loafers. Wow. That was like the extent. Wow. So like my Barbie situation, people were like, how are babies made? And I'd be like smashing the Barbies together. I'd be like, this is how
I didn't know
made.
That this was
like,
something
duh.
That you could do with Barbie. Like, how do you
exactly.
make a Barbie make out with another Barbie? I just,
you
honestly.
Tilt their head. You tilt their head.
And just Barbie smash their head. Faces together?
You can
yeah.
their
I see.
Well, after,
yeah,
after,
you can.
Like, after maybe like 1988, okay. like the original Barbie,
right.
or whatever. I don't even know.
Yeah. Although the original, okay, so the original Barbie. So I had original Barbie that my mom had that was from the 50s, and they all had that like super short haircut that was very Doris Day, that later became very. Kind of butchy, femmy, hot. You
what
know?
Is it now? What is the
now?
Barbie?
They have. They all come with long hair. You oh, never. Okay. You don't. You can't buy a Barbie with short hair anymore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess you could cut it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
can cut it off. You can cut off. Right. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. It's different. Huh. It's different.
I had no idea that we played Barbie / I don't know what together.
Oh. Ooh.
I don't know. Just what we did as children.
Did you play doctor together?
No, I was, which is surprising. Which is
I
surprising
know.
Because I was a pervy child.
So was I.
Yeah.
I had my first
I had no memory
at 6 years old.
I had mine at 4. And
Jasmine
here's the thing.
From the block.
Mine was, when I was in nursery school, I had a boyfriend and a girlfriend, Max and Julia.
Jasmine.
Yeah, Jasmine, what up? So when I was 4 years old, in nursery school, I had a boyfriend and a girlfriend, Julia and Max. And we did things that, like, whatever. Anyway, and I have this very vivid memory of licking her vagina at the age of 4. No, I know.
You just horrified everyone
Sorry.
In Wisconsin.
No. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I know. But
like done.
Yeah. We're done and done. No, I'm not saying that this is healthy and that people. Well, actually, I think
Whatever,
I,
no,
actually,
let's
I think kids are sexual.
I think we have a fear in our culture of saying that they're sexual because then people are like, well, does that mean that adults can fuck them?
No,
that's not what
no.
that means.
And the important thing is to notice these things and make them not feel shame about it
exactly.
in a certain way. But like,
I have a good follow up to that.
Oh yeah.
Okay, this is with my father. So my mom is gay. My father is not. He's straight. He's a straight guy. All right. So when I was growing up, I mean, I grew up in Chelsea, but he would always take me around in like Greenwich Village, West Village, whatever, right near our school, Victator. So there was this place that we used to go to on Saturday nights sometimes called Barefoot Boogie. Do you know? Barefoot Boogie, I swear to you, was this place that you would go to and like dancers and all types of just very interesting, eclectic, artsy type people would just show up and donate money and take off their shoes and dance. And there was no alcohol. And I was a kid and I was oftentimes one of the only kids there. And during that one evening, I think I might have been 5 or 6, somewhere in there, there was these two women on the dance floor making out hardcore. And I mean, like, they were just like, it was like get a room
Wait,
situation.
How old were you again? I just
5 or 6.
Okay.
Now, this isn't
Your
a child.
Were so different.
Right?
Yeah,
I'm
sitting here thinking.
Yeah, but this
wow.
is not like, I was like one of the only kids. I mean, honestly, if anybody shouldn't have been there, it shouldn't have been me. But anyway, I digress. Yeah. These two women were making out hardcore. And I remember I'm dancing and I notice, and I guess my father noticed me notice. And I stared a little too long for like at least a full minute. Now,
wait, was this your Ring of Keys moment?
Yes.
Was the, you don't even know what that fucking
Ring
means.
Ring of Keys.
It's like your roots.
Oh no, you guys, have you not read Fun Home?
Have you not seen the song? I can't.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Okay. This is the whole thing.
I can't go there. We'll
okay. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Okay. Another time.
Oh wow. Hot topic. Hot topic.
My dad noticed, and he basically pulled me aside, like, afterwards when we were leaving. He goes, so, Jackie, I noticed you noticing those two women kissing, and, you know, what did you think? You know, because I was looking for a really long time, and I was just like, it was nice, you know? And I was like 6. But I remember, for me, I was just like, I can do this? This is an option? Like, a huge light bulb went off, and it was like, all of a sudden, that's all I wanted to do.
And then you went to my
next day and exactly. And then I made the Barbies make out. No, yeah. that's exactly how it happened.
Okay, so Isaac, I want to hear more about your experience in upstate, because I have a feeling it was more like my experience in the Deep South.
I feel like it's actually probably a good transitional experience because it's somewhere in the middle. And maybe only because the world I was sort of in, my mom is a dance teacher at University of Buffalo, at SUNY Buffalo, and has been involved in that community a lot. And as we all know, there are a lot of men in theater and dance, and most of them are gay. Indeed. So it was just kind of, I never thought about homosexuality really at all in terms of women, because my presentation of it was very male. Uh-huh. And but as far as my community, it just wasn't really, I don't know, wasn't terribly talked about. And certainly not like growing up in Chelsea, or, you know, upstate is different. It's New York, but it's different. So yeah, I didn't have a ton of exposure to that kind of thing as a young person, I guess. And I'm sure for you.
I mean, I would say in my younger childhood, I didn't even know it existed. Mm. Like, straight up, did not know. And then, I mean, I would, you know, I would watch, like, Liberace with my grandmother. And there would be, like, you know, questions in my head about that. And so there was like an inkling that maybe that there were other options than, okay, I'm gonna tell myself. Now, the first time I learned about gayness, okay, so my mother, like, censored every media form that I was allowed to watch. Mm. Music, anything on TV, movies, but she did not censor the books that I read. Mm. And one time I picked up this historical novel called Cashel Mara at a garage sale, and it had this beautiful Irish windswept countryside on the cover. But inside that book, I was 11 when I picked up this book. Inside that book was the following sex scene. There was an issue where the fortune, yeah, we'll have another beer. There was an issue where this like Duke or something was supposed to produce an heir, but he was gay in the book. But he had to produce an heir, and he was married to this woman. So he got his gay lover to whip him while fucking him to make him fuck the woman he had to produce an heir with. Wow. And I read this sex scene at 11 years old. Okay, I had just learned what sex was like about 18 months prior to this. Yeah,
that's one hell of an introduction.
And so my introduction to, like, this being an option of, like, same-sex love was, like, very much the context of, like, BDSM and historical windswept Irish inheritance law, I guess. Like, it was really interesting. And I memorized the page it was on. And, like, later, you know, it became a thing for me. It was, like, a thing.
How when did it become a thing? When did you remember that you had
witnessed that? I have always known about that. That sex scene is so vivid in my mind. It is emblazoned.
I feel like you guys have such vivid memories of it. I feel like I don't have vivid memories.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I don't know.
Of your early awakenings?
Yeah, I don't really. They'll probably come to me.
I was boy crazy as a teenager, like boy crazy. Mm. And I had these, but I also had these insanely close and deep relationships with girls. And one of the things we talked about is that, like, I came out as bi only like almost 2 years ago now, something like that. Mm. And like a lot in retrospect, like, duh, I clearly had these enormous crushes. Like, duh. And people around me, some of them, when I came out, they're like, "Yeller, Jean, we've known that since forever." Like, what? Like, you don't have to explain that to us. I was looking back, even in college, I had this at my graduation party with my family. I had two friends come, and one was my best friend, who's mostly gay dude, and then this girl Hillary, who we made out so much in secret in the bathroom that at one point this guy that she was dating, like, showed up at my house looking for her, being like, "Where's Hillary?" in this drunken rage. And I was like, "Get the fuck out of my house. She's probably passed out next to her toilet in the dorm room." And it turns out she was. it was like Halloween, you know, these things happen. But, like, in retrospect, I'm like, yeah, like, why did I think because we had this narrative of, like, experimentation in college that, like, it keeps people who are actually bi sometimes from even identifying as bi early on, because they're like, "Oh, I'm just experimenting," or they think that they're just trying something out when there's a real attraction there.
Yeah. I think jumping back to it, to what Jax was saying about there just being there's just way more identifications now that we just didn't even have.
I know, and
that's
so
a good thing. Yeah.
Butch. That's it. I'm done.
Yeah, and I did
mic drop.
Yeah, I did Butch forever. Yeah,
Butchness, it's real.
I feel that. I feel a lot of times it's like, that's fine. Honestly, I don't. I think I didn't come out as trans for as long as I waited as long as I did because I was like, that's fine. This is fine. I don't know. Things just sort of seemed fine. I know that's not the experience for a lot of people, but
when you say that something was fine, what exactly do you mean?
Well, I was pretty open.
Like what label?
Butch. Okay. Yeah, I identified as butch. Or later, I think I said like masculine identified a lot. Or I would just say I identify as non-binary. I'd say that a lot. And it just seemed to work. I don't know. For me, it just seemed fine. And I think it was a good friend. Can we say names on this?
I said some names.
It was a good. It was a conversation with someone we know. I don't know if Jax knows her, but Marina at a Denny's in upstate New York.
Denny's.
And she was
our
like,
sponsor.
Yeah, our sponsor. Plug for Denny's. And she was just sort of like, hey, you know, it doesn't have to just be fine. You know, like you can identify how you want to identify. And I was like, but this works. And she's like, yeah, but life is short and, you know, you should identify how you want to. And that was the first time I kind of was like, all right, I guess maybe it's worth it to make the clarification. But
well, I remember a conversation that we had with Marina one time where you said to us, you're like, all these girls date me and they think I'm going to be like this like soft like girl version of these guys they have crushes on.
Yeah.
But then I'm actually like a dude. I'm actually like a dude bro. And like,
yeah.
And they like take a minute to figure that out. And then that's real. And then like, it was only a few months later that you were like, yeah, I'm actually a dude bro, y'all. Like that's actually true.
Yeah. 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 Totally. Confusing straight girls, I guess for a while.
Right.
Yeah. And my own, and myself too. So,
but is anyone else kind of overwhelmed by all of the categories? Or no, I mean the subcategories. Yeah, I am overwhelmed by it. Like I literally wouldn't even know where to begin on how to identify. I think it could be applicable to so many things. I don't.
Yeah. No, know? I hear you with the overwhelming. And you know, as many of you know, I like arguing on the internet a lot. So like just like pick a fight with me and then I will like not get my work done for like 6 hours just like commenting on a thread. I think there might be a little bit of a generational and cultural shift, certainly when it comes to categories. And I don't think that they're bad. I do find them confusing. I do think also, but I do think the onus is on us to try and understand people. But here's the thing, and this is you know somewhat related to what we're talking about. Were I a kid today, I might identify as sexually fluid, and people get really pissed off at the celebrities who like say that, and you know they're like, oh my god, they don't want it. They see it as like, you know, like they like that they're like copping out, that they're not. And I'm not saying that in some cases that's not true, but when I've actually known individuals who are not celebrities who are sexually fluid, they're like, I'm not comfortable with the labels. And
right.
Again, I don't see it necessarily as a lack of commitment or betrayal. It's just like they just don't feel like it works for them. And I had a really hard time growing up before I identified as a lesbian. It was really difficult for me because like, I mean, I was slightly boy crazy in my early teens and it just like dropped off, you know, and then I was like intensely girl crazy. But the idea that like I would never be attracted to a guy again, like it really freaked me out. Not that would be bad, but it made me feel like I had to say that that was going to be the case. And the reason that I ended up identifying as a lesbian is a really good lesbian friend of mine was like, yeah, I'm a lesbian. It doesn't mean I'll never be attracted to a dude again. It just means I'm a lesbian. And I was like, oh.
That's interesting.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I was like, I can do that, you know? And and I still identify that because that has become what's comfortable. But were I a younger person, I very well might be like one of those annoying people who's like, I'm sexually fluid. Like,
yeah.
Hot.
I ask myself that exactly. Yeah, yeah. Sexually fluid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ask myself that a lot actually these days, like how if I were coming out now or if I was a kid now, how would I identify in today's world? And I'm not really sure it would be the same way because when I was growing up, I honestly thought that, like, you know, I wanted to be a boy. I remember as far back as I can remember literally going, I can't wait to get old enough. I'm going to get a sex change. This is before it was, like, even, like, a normal thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how I was aware of this, but I'm going to get a sex change and I'm going to be a boy the first chance I get. And now this was, like, pre-puberty and pre-all that stuff, and it changed for me. I think, you know, for me personally, I think it's different for everyone, but for me personally, I realized it wasn't so much that I identified as a boy I definitely identified, you know, as a girl. It was just I wasn't happy in the world, you know, being a girl and not being allowed to be who I was. Yeah. That was the problem I saw.
I totally agree. I went through a similar thing before puberty where I was like, I didn't like. Okay, so in sixth grade, the Boy Scouts came and they did their presentation of all the cool shit the Boy Scouts do. Oh, yeah. And all the girls had to sit through this whole long speech about how they went and did archery and they went camping. And like my family always camped and there was always things that I wanted to do. And so when they got ready to say, who wants to join? I raised my hand because I wanted to be in the Boy Scouts. And they were like, somebody, they sent one of the troop leaders over and they're like, you can't do the Boy Scouts, you can do Girl Scouts. And I was like, well, what do they do? And they're like, they do crafts and make cookies and stuff. And I was like, well, fuck that. I didn't say fuck that because I was like a good little preacher's daughter, but like I was very upset. Like I didn't like the category of girl options that I was handed.
You just don't identify. I didn't identify with any of it. I remember I was in the elevator. I remember like it was yesterday. I was in the elevator with my mom, and I think I might have been at six at this time. We're in the elevator and I'm playing with my little Game Boy, the Nintendo Game Boy thingy, right? So, and I just, like, turn my head to my mother, and it's like a light bulb went off for me, and I go, Mom, why is it called Game Boy? And
tough
it was
question,
just, like, a weird, yeah, and I was six, you know, and there was somebody else in the elevator, my mom was just, like, flabbergasted, you know, and I think for the majority, like, early part of my life, it was, like, all the things I liked and all the things I identified, and I wanted to kiss girls, and everything I gravitated towards, guys gravitated towards. So it's very confusing, you know, for me. Yeah. And, you know, had it been today, I don't know, I might have been saying I was trans, but I don't know. I don't know, because now it's like I thought about it. I'm like, well, you have the option, right? You have the option, so think about it, reevaluate. No, I'm definitely not trans, because there's definitely a distinction, like a difference between myself and other trans, you know, men when I talk to them. Mm-hmm. At first I thought there wasn't a disconnect, and then maybe they're getting confused and they're just like going through something prematurely, and you know, and then I realized no, there's definitely a distinction, a difference between, you know, myself and Isaac.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think it's really interesting that, and maybe this is a product of us being a little bit older than like the current movement, but I did the same thing. I had to like sort of reevaluate in a way. And then obviously like came out of it saying I am trans and I do identify this way. But this sort of, I don't know, I've been struggling with this idea of identification just because I'm wondering how important it is. And I worry that we're placing a lot of importance on it. I don't know. There's probably a really good argument for why it's very important, and it is important. But I wonder if I'm in this Facebook group. I'll just say it. I'm in this Facebook group like a transgender support group. And it's been lovely because I see all
Facebook
these things that
intense,
I yeah, they can be really intense.
We've had some situations
super
happen
intense
with some Facebook groups.
Yeah, yeah. And this one is pretty intense. I think mostly because a lot of the people in the group are young and like I don't know, maybe 15, 16,
and
so you'll see I see these posts that are like, yesterday I felt like I was pangender and then today I'm worried that I'm this and that I said that I was this to so and so, and like it just seems like there's a lot of anxiety around nailing down how you identify, right, which I understand it, obviously.
Yeah. Dating online. Oh, forget it.
Yeah, right, yeah.
To identify as anything there.
Right, I mean, I just think, I hope that we can make it okay to sort of identify however, so that people can not stress so much, I guess, about
this
point, it.
I mean, two points. One is that, like, I think it's really cool that y'all are like, man, all these categories are confusing, because I think that in, like, straight land, they're like, oh my god, everything is confusing. And so
so
for them to hear that, like, even queer people sometimes are definitely like, I don't know, like, what are you?
That's a pejorative.
Oh, this is true. We talked about the last episode how some older people think queer is a pejorative. But the other thing is, like, I think the emphasis on identification is not just for people's own identities, but it's also to create some kind of political clout. It's very hard to I think in the Facebook group that we follow, Binet, that's something that they really
I'm
care
not even
about.
Bi, but I'm the most active person
she's
on this group.
The biggest bi advocate of a not, like, it's crazy.
I love my bi plus motherfuckers.
It's true. But so they posted this thing the other day where they were like, even if you're pan, blah blah blah, they listed like all these different identities. They were like, identify as bisexual because you can get healthcare rights, blah blah. And I thought that was really interesting because they're trying to say, we can cover you under this umbrella But it had nothing to do with people's individual identification, and it had to do with creating some kind of political movement.
Well, I mean, I get that. I mean, that's why in general, like, you know, LGBT, like all put together, has been
LGBTQ.
There's a whole bunch. Yeah. But like the thing is, these things were all pushed together, and they're not, they're really not the same things. And Isaac and I have talked about this because I was going to write part of something about this, but then I ended up writing about something else because I'm incapable of actually like following my own scope. No, just the, just in general, the idea that like, I mean, just first of all, that the L, the G, and the B get along and like have the same, and
they
like,
do not always
like,
get
like,
along.
Like, I mean, that's, but
they do not.
But then also trans in the queer community. I mean, plenty of trans people are not queer. Plenty are
totally.
But they really aren't the same thing. And
we've just lumped them all together.
Banded all together to form a solidarity movement. Right. And I think obviously politically that's a right. That's something that people like need to do in general. But at the same time, I mean, you know, there's a reason that the T is always at the end. And you know, while the LG and the B and the G have gotten a lot done, the trans movement still hasn't. And now that like they, you know, I think basically the L and the G and the B benefited a lot more from having like trans people on their side than vice versa.
Oh yeah, totally.
So I mean, I don't know. And there are reasons why we should. There are reasons why we should understand each other. A little more, like, obviously, because I mean, I think the same people who hate gays are the same people who are likely to hate trans people, but then at the same time, that might, that's not necessarily a logical leap for you know, the,
and it's not necessarily
it's not necessarily a logical leap or the case for like cisgendered heterosexuals, like I hope they don't get mad, but my sisters, for instance, like, you know, they've always been really supportive of me as like, you know, as a gay woman, and very like always in my camp, but then anytime a trans issue like comes up, they get very uncomfortable. They'll giggle. They'll not be nice. And like, and one of them, you know, was the head of HR at an important insurance company, and she just basically told me, I'm uncomfortable hiring a trans person. And
straight up.
Yeah. It, like, so she's able to like bend a little bit to see that like I still deserve rights just because I want to fuck someone who's not a man, but like she isn't able to make that same leap of like, you know, I should have rights even if I decided I was a man. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
This is something, I mean, I think you experienced that personally in a recent job that you were
in.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, just getting IDs with the correct name on it is just a shit show. It's just a fucking nightmare, honestly. And if there's a better way to do it than what I'm doing, which is just sort of like, I don't even know. Carol in HR is just like not the lady you want to deal with about trans issues right now. Seriously. It's just, I think a lot of times, especially when you surround yourself with cool people and people who are progressive, then you sort of re-enter spaces where trans issues are not really as far along yet. And you can be really surprised at the kind of totally. Shit that you have to deal with.
Same with queer stuff. I mean, y'all just talking about your childhood is like incredible to me because there was the visibility was nil when I was a kid in Georgia, you know, and that's less, well, I knew about like Outright, which for years was the big gay bookstore in Atlanta that has since closed. Mm. And when they closed, they issued this statement saying, maybe it's a good thing that we're not needed anymore because we're more accepted at this point. But at the same time, it also removed like a historical safe place in a Bible thumping area for, you know, queer people.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's something I wanted to say about like the HR thing, all the different identifications, and it reminds me of like, this is I don't know how to say this without being really offensive, but I'm just gonna go.
Yeah.
Which is that like all civil rights movements are about just getting to be treated like a person.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Not mm-hmm.
It's not offensive, right? Okay. Well, the thing is, the danger though is like, so when people talk about Black Lives Matter or whatever, then somebody responds, "Well, all lives matter." Well, yeah, of course, but like all lives are not being incarcerated at high rates, blah blah blah. And right. like you could say the same thing for like trans people and queer people. Like, well, trans people are being killed on a regular basis just for the fact that they're trans. Right. Queer people are still getting gay bashed. Like all these things are like a big deal. And like I feel like there's this. This is something I read about for Flux Weekly too, is there's this fine line that we're asked to walk, which is that like to wear a mantle of our difference of whatever makes us queer or whatever in order to try and get these rights. But at the same time, we're also just people. people like hanging out at your dinner table at Thanksgiving who you've known your whole life. Like, yeah. why do we have to emphasize that all the time? But sometimes we have to emphasize it for you to accept that maybe we're not like you, and that's okay. Yeah. And it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I had an interesting experience like with, I guess, the conservative fraction of my family, if you will.
I like that it was conservative fraction and not faction. I appreciate that. Yeah. You have a pretty great family.
It's meaningful.
It's meaningful. Yeah. It's progress.
Yeah, it is. It is in and of itself progress for sure. well, the group that I'm talking about, they're just a little bit more religious. They're Catholic. Okay. So it was hard enough, I think, for them to accept. It's my my mother's brother. Okay. So it was hard for him to accept that his sister was gay, which she didn't come out to him for a very long time. Okay. So he finally accepts that she's gay. Then he finds out that I'm gay, which I don't know how he did not know, because I mean, let's just be honest.
She's pretty gay.
Let's be honest. Yeah. Lesbian. Sorry, but I digress. The main thing, they have actually, you know, a bigger issue with the more gender bending thing than they do with my actual sexuality. Like, my aunt was like, I understand, like, you can't control who you love and et cetera, you know, but why do you have to dress that way? Why can't you just put on some earrings, grow your hair out? You have such beautiful hair. Why don't you grow it out? Why are you wearing men's clothing? Mm-hmm. You know, and I was just like, okay. Yeah, these are two very different things. They were more, they were made more uncomfortable by that than the actual sexuality, just the gender bending spectrum, you know, so let alone within that.
Yeah,
and then,
definitely. Yeah.
I think in my family, it's the opposite. I think that I've always been a tomboy, and they had a category for that. And so they were always just like, well, you know, Largie's kind of a tomboy, blah, blah, blah. But then when I started being bi, it's just like a non-discussed topic. Like, my mother brings it up, but I know my grandfather knows. Well, I know.
But we've discussed this about American or lesbian.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there are so many
Southern
women who just like,
they cut middle aged
like,
lesbian.
Once they pop out of the puppies, you know what I mean?
No.
They just start with like the ugly jeans and like shave their head and like
their head. My sister,
if they were to show up in New York, you'd think like
you have no
full on dyke, but like no, it's just like an American
Times
mom.
Square,
so yeah.
Try to make eye contact with some middle aged women. You don't know. are they gay or are they
Germany, when I was in Germany, I swear to God, I was in Hamburg, I thought every woman in her 40s was a lesbian. Every single one. Well, I swore was a lesbian.
Well, also, but here's the thing though. I'm sorry, but
I hope I didn't offend a slew of Germans.
Well, we don't have any German listeners, we do have Swedish listeners. But here's the thing, I'm sorry, American gaydar does not translate when it comes to Europe.
Dude, European dudes would always read as gay dudes in America.
Oh, yes. Oh yeah.
Like het European dudes. Yeah.
In general, I think even. By my standards, a lot of them are fat. I would even make jokes, so yeah.
Yeah, and this is probably a good thing, right? I'd say to echo, I mean, just to piggyback off what you're saying, Jax, like, in my family, the gender thing is the bigger problem.
Yeah.
Who I have sex with is definitely not really a concern. It's kind of like, yeah, whatever you do that I don't have to know about is fine.
But why do you
have to look, you know, why do you have to present a certain way?
That's a
choice. That's the issue. I honestly think that comes back to just a general problem we have with gender in this country.
Right.
And it really... I mean, everything comes back to feminism, I guess, but mostly just a problem we have with the feminine in general and presenting as feminine and or masculine if you're born a woman. I think people just have a hard time with gender. And if we can get over that, we can probably get through some of the sexuality shit, I think.
I can't wait to get over that specific part. It's old at this point.
Can I ask you something, though, it's about all of this, but it's also very much related to our initial topic. So as you mentioned, like, you know, for a while you were like, I'm butch. Like, this is fine enough. But the thing is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but as we last discussed it, you identify as bisexual. Was it weird to feel like you had to identify? I mean, it's just normally there's not a term butch bisexuals. There's a term butch lesbians. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, I'm so glad to bring
this up. Was that complicated for you at all?
I literally thought about this on my way over when I was in my pickup truck.
That's
a
great question.
Go, sorry.
Yeah, no, no, that's a really good question.
No.
I don't know. I think maybe I identified less as butch than I said before. I don't know. It's hard to know. I feel like I wasn't really called to identify a certain way. I just sort of was what I was. I don't know. But I think it's definitely easier if you identify. When I said that I was male identified, it was easier to be bisexual. But I also tend to date women, so I don't really have to come out as bisexual often. Like, it's not really something that I have to make public, I guess.
They never ask.
Yeah, people just assume that. When I identified as a woman, people just assumed I was gay. And yeah. Identifying as a trans man, people just assume that I'm straight.
Right.
So it's almost like I have privilege, sort of passing privilege in a way that I don't really have to make it explicit that I'm bisexual.
Right.
Yeah. I would if I was dating a guy, obviously, but I don't. So, yeah. I don't know. I never thought about that. That's a good question.
Yeah.
So I am dating the guy right now.
He's a great guy. I love him. Muzzle! But he's also kind of a lesbian.
Oh my God. So we were at... We were at the Metropolitan Museum of Art the other day, and we were looking. We went to like all the historical exhibits. We did like Egypt. We did like Byzantium. We did all the different things. And what he looked at me halfway through the exhibits, and we did like the armor. And he was like, "Oh my God! Like in such and such time, like to be super mask, you would have worn heels and like poofy butt shorts." And makeup. And I was like, "Yeah, that would have been the epitome of masculinity." And like 15th century Spain, you know, like that sort of thing. And he was like, he looked at me and he was like, "Oh my," like all these gears just like ground together. And he was like, "Jesus Christ." He's like, "All this stuff you talk about, I've always just, because what I'm talking about, we talk about gender a lot." And he was like, "I always think of it in terms of like right now, but in actuality, yeah, this is like a fluid thing whose boundaries are changing constantly."
Yeah.
And like, it's fluid between cultures. I mean, the kind of, there are things like, so the Inuits, well, right? or like he grew up in Colombia, which is hyper like machismo. Yeah. But at the same time, there are things that like Colombian men feel very comfortable dancing, singing in public, and crying.
Yes, I love doing that.
Those are considered, like, to American men, oftentimes those are considered effeminate. But to a lot of Colombian men, that's just a part of your like showing off your masculine prowess. So the boundary, the point of all this is the boundaries of how we define these categories.
Right.
Are so contextually.
Oh yeah,
they're
temporal, they're cultural, they're individual. I mean, as Jax and I were discussing before we got started, like, I mean, also a lot of the reasons that we have both been put in the butch category are based on cultural perceptions and not actually how we feel inside.
Right.
And
how do you feel inside?
I feel a lot of things. If I'm like joking around or just trying to clarify things or whatever, I'll refer to myself as a soft butch just because like it makes sense and that has what people have. But I don't actually feel that way. And as we've discussed before on the show, I'm not handy or anything butch, like, whatever. And I probably have more, like, cosmetics than anyone you know.
See, as long as
I'm wearing three layers of makeup right now, you can't even tell.
Okay, it's flawless.
I know.
Absolutely flawless.
And I'm also wearing a tie. But it's a thing. It's like
very dapper,
but
by the way.
Also, like, but it's a given, and I almost feel like I don't know, like, this one of the women who I'm have the pleasure of sleeping with right now, she stupping.
One of the women I'm
stupping was one that was going to come.
Stupping.
Anything. Yeah, certainly funny.
We were talking about how, like, I don't know, how, like, because she was really looking for someone to top, and I was really excited because people keep expecting me to top them, and she was like, "Do you think maybe that's because you're butch?" And I was like, "Oh, okay."
You're like, "Oh."
I was like, I guess I'm butch then.
Am I butch then?
But, like, I mean, I've heard that a lot, and again, I take no offense in it. I understand how that's the interpretation, but I've never felt it.
You never felt that you were a top? Type.
Oh no. That I have felt.
Let's
a different
clarify.
Time. No,
you never woke up and like, "I'm butch."
Yeah.
I'm butch. Like, you didn't wake up like, you never felt stone butch, you never felt like super mask. Like, it's a spectrum, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're either far along one side or the other.
Well, it's a spectrum. Maybe. I mean, in many ways, I feel very, like, flexible in certain things, but in others, I can be very rigid if I'm honest with myself, if I'm really going to call myself out. I mean, I'm all about, I'm a top.
Gotcha.
I'm gay, you know what I mean? And I'm butch. You know, you can now you can interpret that however you want.
Yeah. But this brings up a good point to another conversation that Isaac and I had one time, though, which was about, okay, so people always talk about presentation when they talk about identity, and like sometimes you just wake up the way you wake up.
Yeah.
And like who, like you have to, for the rest of the world, you have to say what that is.
Right.
But you're just going through the world. Like, yeah. You're putting on your shirt that you like to put on. It's your favorite shirt. Like, who cares? So maybe it's a Western shirt. Who cares? Yeah. And it's not pink, yeah. You know? Like,
sexually, like, how do we, you know, get across to our potential lovers?
Well, for you, it's interesting because you find it more handy to use top and bottom terms.
I do.
And there's something wrong with that. Yeah.
I think that just plays into some of the rigidity I have within the bedroom. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Now, yeah. It's like, I'm very flexible in many ways, but there's certain... We're just gonna.
But not in the bedroom, babe.
I'm gonna strap on, you know.
Yeah. About time we got to the bedroom. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. This is the longest probably we've ever gone in this show without getting to the bedroom.
So I find that it actually helps clarify things in advance.
No, I'm not against it. It just again doesn't work for me. Which,
right.
You know,
and I'm also fine with it not working for a lot of people. But for me, I'm less offended by top, bottom. This I find it useful.
Right.
At least. Yeah. You know, in the world where there's so much ambiguity, so much gray area. Sometimes I find it easier to just be like, yeah, no, I'm a top.
It's important to do that too, I think, for the sake of your lovers who, like, you can, some people who don't talk about that stuff explicitly, you get kind of into the relationship, you think each other's rad, and then it turns out that, like, one of you was a super bottom, and you're like, wait, what?
I understood.
Like, right.
And maybe both of you,
and, like, it didn't work.
But there was definitely, like, way more.
But, but here's the thing is that I am different in different relationships. That's why the thing is, I can't really, like, lately, like, over the last, like, year or two, I've been a lot more bottomy than I had previously.
Yeah, it changes.
That could easily change. Look, speaking of flexibility, we don't have a lot of time, so I really want to talk a little bit more about Flux Weekly. So, Isaac, also, you wrote this this article that you referenced about you know, whether feminism and the transgender movement were at odds, and I'm sorry, I'm going to summarize your own article. Basically, it was just that. Unfortunately, there's for trans men, there's a lot of emphasis on them, like, learning to check their privilege first and foremost, you know, because they're men now and they, you know, used to be women. And so they suddenly have this, like, new privilege and, like, you know, they have to figure out how to handle it. Was basically, like, something that, like, you were saying that you were getting from a lot of from this one particular, like, it was a photo series or something like that. Right. Yeah. But what you argued is that obviously the first thing that comes to a trans guy or any trans person in general is not like, hey, here's a whole bunch of privilege. It's like, oh, actually, like, here's this new experience where you're still, like, not given a lot of rights. You're actually probably having rights taken away because you're a trans guy.
And we said earlier, both groups, like, the queer community doesn't know what to do with a lot of trans people, the cis community.
I'm more interested to find out is because since you, and there was a lot of vitriol in response to this because a lot of, like, self-described feminists were basically saying, like, no, like, absolutely, the first thing you need to know is, like, that this is, you're, like, you're not going to be privileged, and, like, but since then, I saw you say that you actually think you might have been wrong, so I'm really curious as to what you have to say about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's safe to say that I'm conflicted, but it was actually a comment in that group that you're the Binet group I saw, and somebody had said something sort of short and sweet in response, and I think it was, I just don't understand why it would ever be a bad thing to acknowledge privilege. And I read it and I just sort of, I don't know, I've been thinking about it all week, and I kind of agree with that. I guess where I might have been wrong is thinking that it was unimportant for us to acknowledge privilege at this point because there are still so many things that need to be accomplished.
Right.
And, but I also, I can sympathize with a perspective that, you know, maybe it is never a bad thing to, like, fully understand your place in the world and to acknowledge privilege.
Right.
But I do still feel like it's a little crazy sort of to ask trans men specifically to do that first and before all else.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't necessarily think it's crazy. I think it's cruel. That's the first thing that I have to say about it. Like, I mean, I'm like, it's like, I don't, again, I don't see you just suddenly like getting all the things that like, you know, white straight cis dudes have always gotten. Right. Like I, that's just not something that I see happening. And to ask you to apologize for, you know, finally actually
being who you are.
Being who you are.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty, it's cool. It's cool. That's all I think that it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely important for us to, I mean, for me as a butch woman, I know that I've always tried to be at least cognizant of like feminist issues within, even within dating and when I'm interacting with women in general. I tend to date women more feminine. And I find that I gravitate towards a lot of these gender, like socialized gender role type things. And they're oftentimes at odds with feminism in general. And like Isaac and I were talking about this earlier. It's like sometimes you have to be cognizant of that. And you are aware, I kind of like these little roles. I feel guilty. I feel guilty for wanting to, you know, like order and wanting to do all these things. But at the same time, I'm totally receptive and it's amazing if she's like, no, I want to do this, or she takes control of everything.
I'm
like, awesome, that's hot.
You know what I mean? That can be fun too.
I mean, it's important to acknowledge like feminism and stuff, but I don't think that you should have to apologize for being, you know.
I think it's
important too to say that like the good thing about when you step outside of things having to be all like one way or the other is then you get to play with them.
Exactly.
And that becomes really hot really fast.
Totally.
When you choose a particular role, be it femme or butch, it's a lot more fun than when people make you be that thing.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. That's true.
When it's self, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So what's our next topic about? I think, oh shit. Apparently, we're just going to talk for a while.
No, I mean, like, no one's going to cut us off.
Okay.
No, I just want to finish talking about Flux.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it, yeah.
Just as we've mentioned, fluxweekly.com.
Nubrit
here under her this weird name she goes by, Laura Jean Moore.
Laura Jean Moore. I mean, wrote this
really interesting piece about why we need Awareness Week, because as some of you might know, it was not this week, but the week before was Bisexual Awareness Week.
It's true.
So do you want to talk a little bit about your piece?
Oh my God, I didn't know I was going to talk about my piece.
Well, you are.
Well, now I am. Okay, so I don't know, my piece, I like to start pieces with confessions and shit, but because people like controversial things, so I like to lead in with the confessions of my lovers. But the whole crux of the piece is really about this idea that I was talking about earlier, that like the whole reason we have these weeks is to get political power, not to like completely separate ourselves from the rest of the world.
It's also not like, look at me,
right?
I feel like a lot of people like think that it's like, God, there's so many weeks now, there's so many months now. It's
exactly.
Like what? It's like
when is our week gonna happen?
Yeah.
It's like, well, if you already have political power, if you already have cultural power, if you're already the most represented figure in media and in the government, then you have the power, whether you feel like you do or not. Now that's a whole other thing, is whether or not people often, because someone in power looks like them, they expect to also receive that. Mm-hmm. And that's a complicating factor in like the kinds of shootings we're having right now, these mass shootings. A lot of the self-identified shooters feel like the narrative of privilege that they expected wasn't available to them. And so they get really mad, which is a separate thing. Maybe it's related. The point is if we were better at treating everybody like they were competent and valuable based on criteria other than their sexuality or their race or their gender, then we wouldn't need these weeks.
Yeah.
And the point of these weeks is to try and get people who may be uncomfortable with the fact that you don't look super femmy and you're a lady.
I'm still a little bit of a lady.
You're still... Yeah. Right, or people may be uncomfortable with the fact that I date men and women. Mm-hmm. You know, that they might be like, oh, okay, but you're like, you can chill with me, you know? You can also do competent things in government. You can also you can also write stories for television.
Maybe I can't.
You know? The whole point of these weeks is to be like, hey, I know you're like looking at me and seeing this one thing.
But like there's a lot else.
Look, there's like all this other stuff. We're just asking to be given the same opportunity.
Yeah.
And it's the most American thing in the world, because you're asking to have the same
opportunity. We're so pro-USA.
I mean, but I'm just saying the whole American dream or narrative is this idea that everybody is born on an equal playing field.
Yeah.
And what these weeks do is it's like, let's be real. We're not all born in the equal playing field.
Yeah.
maybe we could make it better. Maybe we could make it a little more equal if we accepted people as they are. So anyway, that's what my piece was about.
All right. It was, and it was really good. And then I wrote something too about the first, like, you remember that thing in the first episode that y'all listened to about Dan Savage? So it's about that. But I ended up talking about stuff that I didn't talk about in the episode. So if you want to read it, go ahead. Fluxweekly.com. And is there anything else you want to tell us about FW?
Dictator, don't you have another piece coming up?
Yeah, but I haven't. But Isaac and I haven't talked about it yet. Yeah,
oh, shit. Okay.
We're still working on it, but it's forthcoming.
Okay,
it's
forthcoming.
Yeah,
more for the
Dictator.
Cool.
All right, cool.
Okay,
cool. All right.
Our next episode.
It's about fucking coming and orgasms.
It's going to be about orgasms. We're going to talk about different kinds of orgasms.
And is there a difference between coming and orgasms?
Is there a difference between? I would say yes.
And it looks like our guest also has that same opinion. She's a burlesque performer named Foxy Squire, who's...
You can see around the city.
Potentially the love of my life.
I don't know if she knows that, but maybe if she listens to this episode, she will know. So we're excited about that. Right. Listen next month.
Thank you. And again, thank you to our guests, Jax and Isaac.
Yeah.
Really glad to have you.
It's really been a pleasure.
Thanks for having us. It's been fun.
All right. Bye. We'll be right back.